The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Serving God and doing what God has called us to as believers. Not always easy. Sometimes we just have to keep pressing on and pressing in. But God is always faithful. Never has He turned His back on His people. He's always there. And He'll always provide for all of our needs according to His riches and glory, Christ Jesus. We believe that. But I got to tell you, I believe that much of the church of Jesus Christ is asleep. I believe we're in a late hour, and I believe many in the church do not realize the late hour that we are in. Jesus is coming back soon. Oh, well, you know, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. That's right. They believed it then, too. And you know, in God's timetable, 2,000 years is nothing. It is very short. It's like a day with God, 2 days, according to Scripture. So if we want to recognize that God, what God is doing in the earth today, we have to look at the things that are happening and compare that to Scripture. Now, it's very important that we do not take the Scripture and try to make it fit in to the things that are happening today. Many times, prophecy, eschatology teachers, end time teachers have done exactly that. And I don't fault them because, you know, we see things through the lens that we have. And when we see our world, we begin to think that, well, these things are lining up with this Scripture. Not necessarily true. Because, you know, sometimes the teachings of prophecy have a meaning to us or appear to be happening in a particular time that's not really what God has foretold is going to happen. I hope I'm making myself clear here. But all the teachings that we have, all the Bible teachers, that many of them have done their very best to try to teach end time stuff and teach it according to what knowledge they have and light they have. But sometimes we have to just be careful that we don't say, well, okay, this is happening and it lines up with the Word of God. Now, what we need to do is take the Word of God and see if it lines up with what God is doing, not what man is doing, with what God wants us to understand. So when I start talking about waking up, I believe it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to wake up and look at the things that are happening all around us. Because we are entering into a time period that I believe there's great turmoil. Now, that's not to scare anybody. I want you to understand something. Our God has promised that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If we trust in Him, we won't have to worry about anything. He said He's going to meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't mean that the whole world all around us is not going to fall apart. It just means that we're going to be taken care of in the midst of it. You know, the battle's going to be going on. But here's what we got to recognize. We are in a battle. This is warfare. And we got to start treating it like warfare instead of some kindergarten game. You know, I used to love Bible school because in Bible school, we would play games. And that was fun. I had a lot of energy as a kid. My mom will attest to that. And I like doing things. But I like Bible school. I learned things in Bible school, but they had activities. But you know what? As I've grown, I've come to realize that life is not about just having fun all the time. Life can be difficult. Life is toil. Life is pressing in. Life is, if we really recognize what the spiritual walk that we are in, we realize that this really is a battle. It's warfare. And as I look around this world right now, I can see some things that are happening that concern me about the future. This past week, Eddie Bear and myself went to Columbus, where they had a appeal to heaven prayer vigil on the at the state. Was it the Capitol, right? And we were there on the lawn. Do we have a picture of that? Don't? Tammy didn't send? Okay. Sorry, I thought that we had some pictures. I thought Tammy tried to send some pictures out of it. But anyhow, there was a nice crowd there. The pastors were from all over the state, mostly from eastern, central, and southeast Ohio. And these were conservative, Bible-believing pastors. And they got up and they prayed conservative prayers. They prayed against the abortion and the murdering of children. They prayed against same-sex marriage in the air, in the open air, where everyone could hear. They prayed against the ungodliness and the drug addictions and the things that are taking place in our society and in our cities. They prayed against the move of the enemy, and they prayed down the power and the blessings of God. These were godly men, men that I would say, you know, I want to say that I'm glad that I was associated with that, because they recognize how important it is to take a stand for what is right. Someday, if we don't take those kind of stands, we may not be able to speak openly about such things. We must, the church must, get serious. Wake up, because the time is at hand. Let's look at Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 5. Go to verse 14. We may go back and read some of the rest of this, but right now I just want you to see what it says. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, we read that and we think, well, you know, he's talking to those who have not received Christ as their personal Savior, to receive the light of Christ. But he's talking to the church. He's saying, listen, church, wake up. It's time to wake up and be awake and realize the things that are taking place around you. Wake up. For you were once in darkness. If we go back to verse 8. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's telling us that we have to be awake at all times and see what's going on. Look around, look at the world and see what's happening. Everywhere we look, we see things that are pointing to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are teetering. The world is teetering right now on financial collapse. It's crazy what is happening. They say that the United States has at least, and I've heard other experts say it's a lot more than this, but at least $18 trillion of debt. That's a sign that we've left our God, because we're not following his financial principles. $18 trillion. I have no idea how much $1 trillion is. However, I came across an illustration of what a trillion might be. Well, they compared it to a million and a billion. A million, let's put it in seconds. A million seconds passes and 12 days go by. Yeah, you know, that's reasonable. A billion seconds goes by and 31 years have passed. A trillion seconds, and it will take 30,000 years. That gives us a little perspective on what $1 trillion, let alone $18 trillion, is like. What is wrong with us? We're asleep. We're asleep because our leaders have fallen asleep. They're asleep at the switch. They're not leading according to the biblical principles that were established, that have been established in this nation. We're asleep because the church leaders are not crying out, wake up, stay awake, be vigilant, be ready, be prepared. Get your life in order. Things are happening all around us. And it's time for God's people to wake up. So this morning I want to share a few things with you as we read through this scripture. A few things that I think is important for us to recognize, and what it means to be awake, and how we can judge our life. If we are awake, how we can judge that we're awake. Ephesians 5, let's go back a little bit and let's just read, let's begin at 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Church, we are called to be different than the world. We are called to point out the things that are not right according to the Scripture, according to God's Word. We can't go along with the ways of the world and the ideology of the world. Our basis, our understanding must all come from the wisdom of the Word of God and the Scripture. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Listen, as far as judging the world or people outside of the world, I have no business doing that. I'm a pastor. I'm called as a spiritual leader to the body of Christ. I am supposed to speak and teach on things that are morally correct and take a stand for what is right. For instance, I talk about abortion and how I believe that we're taking the life of unborn right in the face of God. And their blood is crying out to Almighty God. I take a stand on same-sex marriage and that homosexuality is wrong based on the Word of God. Do I hate homosexuals? No. They're God's people. God created them, but He wants them to be His children and turn from their wicked ways, just like everyone has to turn from their wicked ways. We can't continue our lifestyles. It's different. So it's very important that for us as believers in Jesus Christ, that you understand that my responsibility is to teach you how to walk and how to be believers and walk as believers in Jesus Christ, to be that light. See then, as we jump down to verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly, the Greek means accurately, diligently. Circumspect means to take in consideration all possible circumstances and consequences before acting. It means walking carefully. Before you make decisions, think carefully about it. A careful walk as a believer in Jesus Christ. Be careful the steps that you take. Be careful how you act. Be careful what you say. Be careful. Now, none of us is perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to make some mistakes. But if we will look at our life and we try to take into consideration how our life affects other people, then we can be careful with the steps that we take. I can tell you this, that having chickens in my backyard has caused me to have a whole new understanding of walking carefully. Because you got to look down where you're going. Carefully. Watch where you're going. Be careful with the steps that you take. And that is in your everyday life. because we have a calling to be this light to the people that are around us, walking carefully before the Lord. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Amen. Good works. We are called unto good works. Those good works have become a part of who we are, or they should become a part of who we are. That's why it's so important that we carefully do what is right. But I can tell you this, having been pastor for almost 20 years now, no matter how many good deeds you do, how many good things you say, how good your conduct is, most of the time, you do one bad thing, and somebody's going to point it out to you. So you better get used to that. I can tell you that in your workplace, you can be the kindest, the best servant there, and if there's ungodly people there who are trying to find something to accuse you of, they will find something. That's reality. They'll design something just like they did against Daniel. They designed a plan to trap him so that they could throw him into the lion's den. And they'll do something like that to you as well. Listen, Jesus said, count it worthy if you come under those kind of persecution. That you have been worthy enough to be counted as his servants. Because you are willing to walk this walk, talk this talk, and do the things that are right before Almighty God. These things are good. They're profitable to men. Be willing to take the heat sometimes. Be willing to give all that you have to the Lord. No matter what, there's going to be people that offend us sometimes. And if we're going to walk carefully before the Lord, we're going to have to learn to walk in forgiveness. If you get offended, listen, people get offended all the time and leave churches all over this nation. Sometimes the offense is unintentional. Most of the time, I would say the offense is unintentional. And most of the time, the reason people are offended is not so much what was said or what was done, but because of some pain or hurt that they have in their past. That the enemy uses in order to cause them to walk in this offense and separate them from the body of Christ. Be careful. Be careful with these things. There was a seminary professor, Dr. Smith, and he was known for having elaborate object lessons. And one day his students came in and he had darts set up and a great big poster paper over the wall. And he told his students when they got started, he said, I want you to come up here and I want you to draw a picture of the person that has hurt you most in your life. Everybody went up and drew pictures. And when it was all over, when they got done drawing, they picked up. He said, okay, now, each one of you just come up here one at a time and throw darts at this person that has hurt you. I want you to throw darts at them. And each one by one, they came forward and threw darts. And they threw darts in their head. They threw darts in their hands. They threw darts in their feet. They threw darts in their body. They threw darts all over these people. And, you know, they were laughing and having a good time because they were getting those people. After it was all over with, they went and sat down. And the doctor, the professor said, now listen, I want you to understand something. That if you have unforgiveness in your heart and you're throwing darts at other people, You're not just throwing darts at them. You're throwing darts at Jesus. And he took the paper down, and there was a picture of Jesus with darts in his head, in his hands, in his feet. What an object lesson. We got to remember, those darts are not just directed toward those people. They're directed toward our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I heard it said one time that, you know, harboring unforgiveness is like taking poison and drinking it to get the other person back. Who's harmed by it? You are. You are. Let's walk carefully before the Lord. So number one, we're going to walk carefully. Number two, look at verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do we redeem time? I can tell you this, you're not going to go back and redeem the time. The only way you can redeem time is to change your behavior now so that you can redeem the rest of your life. And I can tell some of you, I know that there are things in your life, you have regrets. Maybe it's a regret with your children. It's a regret with your parents. It's a regret with someone else, another situation that you were in. You can't go back and make that better. You might get some healing with forgiveness, asking forgiveness if you need to, or talking to that person and receiving their forgiveness. But you can't go back and change that circumstance. The only thing you can do from this time forward is change your behavior, so that you have no regrets from now on. Changing things. Colossians 3, 5, and 6. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is adultery. Because of the things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but you no longer walk that way, is what the scripture is telling us. Don't continue walking that way. Don't allow these things that were holding you back, that were keeping you from being all that God wants you to be. Don't allow any kind of unforgiveness, don't anger, malice, anything that was keeping you from moving forward with Jesus Christ. Recognize the power of God to set you free and allow you to redeem the time from this time forward. When Brother Ron came up a couple weeks ago and talked about his son contacting him, there's nothing he can do about the past, but now he has an opportunity to redeem the time from here on. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to redeem what time you have from here on. Redeem means to make something acceptable or pleasant in spite of its negative qualities or aspects. Buying it back, redeem it. How many have ever seen the show Pawn Stars? A few people. In pawn shops, usually you go into a pawn shop and you give them an item and they give you some money if you... Do come back with the money in a certain amount of time, you get your item back. Most people do not do that. They lose their item. God is giving us an opportunity to redeem the time from this moment on in our life. Redeem our relationships. Redeem the time that we have with one another. Redeem this goodness that God has given us. Be careful with your walk. Redeem the time. What does it mean for us as believers to redeem the time? I think that sometimes we have to recognize that we've probably fallen short with our witness to other people. I'm guilty. You know, I want you to know that I want to be bolder for the Lord. I want to take steps of faith. When somebody needs prayer, I don't care whether I'm in Walmart or Go-Mart. I want to be able to say, let's pray. I don't always do that. I'm working on it, but I don't always do that. Sometimes I let my fears and inhibitions get in the way. But listen, we need to let this world know that there is a living God and Jesus is coming back soon. I read a story this week of a young lady in Washington State, and a church isn't important because it could be any church, any place in the United States. But she went into this church, and it was her first time there, and she just lost her parents in a horrible accident. And the pastor preached on the forgiving power of the blood of Jesus. And he told everybody that, you know, you can be... we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but because of the blood of Jesus, you can be forgiven and receive salvation in Jesus Christ. First time she had ever heard the message. She went away. And a few weeks later, the church received a letter back from her. And she explained, I heard this message for the first time. I heard that salvation, that all men are sinners, but salvation is in Christ. But she went on to write, she said, but I'm not sure that you believe it. I've come to this conclusion. You either don't believe it or you don't care. For I just lost my parents in a horrible accident, horrible tragedy. And if you really believed or you cared, you would have come to visit us because we just live a block away from you. Do we really believe? Wow. I really want to believe. I really want to care. Yeah. I think we all do. Yeah. But we just need to be reminded sometimes. We have this ministry of reconciliation that we're all called to. And that is to reconcile people to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We can walk. We can redeem the time. The last thing we're going to do, we're going to understand God's will. What is God's will? What's God's will for your life? You know, I can't answer that except for the basics, because His will for all of us, every believer, is the same when it comes to serving Him and the basics in our life. But you know what? There are certain things in each and every person's life that only you can answer. Only you will receive from God. You know, someone, here's the thing, I believe that the gifts in Corinthians are meant for this. They're meant for us to be able to confirm what God has already spoken to individuals, particularly the gifts of word of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy, and tongues and interpretation. If somebody speaks something to you in a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, by prophecy, it is something that I believe in most cases is something that God has already spoken to your heart. And it's just confirmation. Now, if it is not in these situations, if something that you'd not had God speak to you, then you just put it aside and sit on it for a while and see what God does. That doesn't mean it's not from God. It just means you got to wait and see what God's doing. But when God speaks to you, He's going to speak to your heart about something, and then these gifts come along and just confirm what God wants to do in your life. He wants to lead you. So God will speak to you. But there are some basic things that we need to understand. Understand God's will. Don't live like the world. Do not love the world for the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Number one, we know that God's will is that we not love the world. What's it look like to love the world? Well, it looks different for different people. For some people, it's living the party life. That's loving the world. For others, it's materialism. For others, it can be just simply television can be loving the world. Yes, sir. Anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God, any of these worldly activities, it goes way beyond anything that I can even imagine sometimes. Only you can know whether you are loving the world rather than loving God. But it'll separate you from the love of God. Not that he will leave you, but we end up leaving him. We end up walking away. The second thing is joyful fellowship with believers. Hebrews 10:25 says, tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhort one another, encourage each other, because we see the day approaching. See, be thankful, be anxious, and or it goes says this, be not troubled with cares. For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be thankful. See, these are simple steps, but if we get these simple things in order, then we will be ready for the big things that God has for us. Understand his will, joyful fellowship, be thankful. D, submit to one another. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me. 1 says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly for his dishonest gain, but not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. First of all, he tells the leaders, listen, you got to lead with by example and lead with love. But you're to lead. You could see, we have to realize what God has established here. You are a part of this body. And being a part of the body, you made a choice. You chose to be a part of the kingdom of God. You received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But I want you to understand, your choice has caused you to be a part of an army. Most people these days choose to be a part, because they're citizens of the United States, they choose to be a part of the army or the military of some sort. They make a choice, an active choice, to be involved with it. But I want to tell you, once you get in there, you don't have many choices. How many have been in the army? Service of some sort. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I know things have changed a lot. I don't know. I've never been in the service myself, but I've talked to a lot of people who have. And one thing that they say is you don't have choices. You do what you're told. If they say dig a hole there, you dig a hole. If they say cover it up, you cover it up. Doesn't matter. You just do it because you've been ordered to do it. Here's something that we misunderstand in the body of Christ. This causes an offense often, and that is that we do not realize the rank that God has established in the church. We're not seeing how the rank works. In the service, if a sergeant says do something, a lieutenant, a corporal, a general, it doesn't matter who it is, and you're a lower rank, you do it because you recognize their authority. The same thing is supposed to apply in the church. Now, I'm not talking about somebody ordering you to do something immoral or ordering you to do something that is against your own standards. My goodness, hopefully the church of Jesus Christ is better than that. That we are establishing our orders based on the Word of God. But when God's people, you know, the set person is on the stage, whether it's Pastor Otis and Ivy, Pastor Rob, or anybody else that we have in this place, if they say, raise your hands, it should be a given. Amen. We raise our hands. Is this going to hurt you? Amen. No. You see, we just have to learn that there are certain basic orders and rank that needs to take place. Why do we do that? Because we honor the leaders. If somebody says something, causes you or tries to get you to do something that you know is absolutely morally wrong, my goodness, run from that place. But I don't believe we have those kind of leaders here. So what we have to do is understand that God has called His people and He has a rank and an order. And if we can get in step like God wants us to, we can accomplish great things for His kingdom. Now, I hope you don't take this out of context and what I'm trying to say here this morning. I just want you to know that this is God's order of things. God has a plan. And He wants us to grow in that plan and walk in that plan. But He has set men and set women that He has placed in leadership so that we can go forth and accomplish kingdom work, pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and do all the work of the ministry that needs to be done. No one engaged in warfare, 2 Timothy 2:4. Entangles himself with the affairs of this life. There's where we must come to this place in our life where we're not entangling ourselves with the cares of this life. Does that mean you can't make a living? You can't have a good time? You can't party? You party to a certain extent. You got to have the right kind of party. My used to be kind of party. Was smoking a little joint, drink a little beer, you know. That's not godly. Yeah, that's right. We can have godly parties. We can have a good time in our life. God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have things that you can enjoy. There's nothing wrong with you having that. In fact, in the Old Testament, part of their tithe, one time a year, a 10% of their income, they took it to Jerusalem, they bought anything they wanted to party on, and they partied hardy. For a week. Yes, that's crazy, isn't it?
That's awesome.
I think it's awesome, yes. Amen. God wants you to enjoy life. Sometimes life is not so enjoyable, but anytime you have an opportunity to enjoy life, enjoy it. Embrace it. Recognize it. It's from God. It's a gift from God for you. For all of us. We want to please Him who enlisted us as soldiers, the Most High God. We are part of a great army. I willingly submit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. All my Christian life submitted myself to those who God put in over me and in charge of me. I submit myself willingly to Apostle Piper because he's my head. And to the Soma organization, I willingly submit myself to it. And if any time I feel like they're not going in the right direction, I can willingly step aside. But as long as I'm a part of that organization, I do everything I can to promote, encourage, and build up Apostle Piper and the organization. That's the kind of thing that should be happening in everybody. You go to that church because you love the people, you love the ministry, you love the pastor. You encourage and you lift up. The words that come out of your mouth are words of encouragement about the church, about the leadership. You stand up and you glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And you speak things that do nothing but build up instead of tear down. Many churches are torn down because their own congregation is going about talking negatively about it. If we want to see this church make an impact, we've got to have positive words, encouraging words that cause people to want to be a part of this, of what we're doing. And we've got to take a stand for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stand with me. In the 1700s, Frederick the Great was the Tsar of Persia. And he had a great man that served him, Hans von Zieten. And von Zieten was a Christian. And Frederick called all the great people in his kingdom to come, and they were going to have a gathering, and this von Zieten just chose not to come because he wanted to stay at his church and take communion. Well, after the banquet, they had another gathering, and von Zieten was there. And people started making fun of him, not only of him, but of his Lord, of Jesus, because he was faithfully serving him. And even the king, Frederick, joined in. Von Zieten knew that his life was in peril, but he stood up and he said, "I can no longer allow you to desecrate the name of my Lord. I want you to know that my life may be in peril, but I take a stand for what I believe is right and for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The king walked over to him, and everybody thought, "Oh, this is it." He stuck out his hand to him. He embraced him. The king said to him, "If I had more men like you in my kingdom, brave men like you, we could take the world." And he apologized to him, and he said it would never happen again. If we take a stand for Jesus Christ, I can't promise you that it'll turn out like that. But I can promise you this, that when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's most important. Not what happens here, but what happens at that day and that time. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. I praise you for your people. I thank you for guiding and directing us. Help us, Lord God, to be about your business, to recognize all the things that you want for us and through us. Lord, I thank you for your blessings upon these people. Help us to use them to glorify your name. Help us to recognize the good things that you pour into our lives, that we will glorify you because of it. Thank you for guiding and directing and stirring our hearts, Lord, to be more faithful to you. Give us boldness, Lord God, that we will leave this place and we will touch the lives of other people wherever we go. That we'll pray openly, that we'll speak openly, we'll be honest with people. We will let them know that Jesus is Lord and King. Thank you, Father God, for opportunities that you give to each and every one of us. As we go forth into our life each and every day, that you will be lifted up. The name of Jesus will be glorified. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget the Bible school meeting right after church. Praise God. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.